May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 451. May this be a much favoured hour to souls in Satan's bondage led. Lord, close thy word with sovereign power to break the rocks and raise the dead. 451.
Read together from the Holy Word of God in the Epistle to the Ephesians and chapter 3. Paul's Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 3. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his own precious word. Grant unto us a spirit of real prayer. Merciful, gracious, almighty, and eternal God, we do desire to bow before thy glorious majesty, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We desire to approach unto thee in that wonderful, sacred name of the incarnate Son of God, even Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the name the Father loves to hear his children plead, and all such pleadings he approves when offered in his name. For Lord, we cannot come in our own name. We cannot come in our own person. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We are all as an unclean thing. O Lord, solemnly from the crown of our head to the sole of our foot, we are wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. There is no soundness in my flesh. O thou great God, we would indeed solemnly bow before thee in all our unrighteous condition, our unclean condition. We cannot bring anything before thee, O Lord, which is acceptable unto thee. Sin courses through every vein of our body. We defile anything we touch. Great God, we would indeed confess our sins. We do thank thee for that beautiful word. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We thank thee for the wonderful glory of his person, the eternal word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. Lord, what an unspeakable privilege this evening hour, if we may be favoured to behold his glory. Even as the apostle says, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We read, Lord Jesus, when thou wast here below, when thy disciples in fear of the Jews were locked in the room, the doors being shut, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Oh Lord, what an unspeakable favour that would be, if it would please thee to come here into this room this evening hour, and speak peace into our hearts. Lord, thy sheep, they know thy voice. Oh, we pray that we may hear thy voice. We read in thy word, my beloved spake and said unto me. Lord, we do pray that thou would come and speak unto us. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. And be not silent unto me, O God, lest if thou be silent unto me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Oh, we pray, beseech thee, O Lord, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit may rest and abide upon us as we gather round thy word. We seek thy rich blessing upon this church and this congregation, that thou wouldst graciously bless them. Bless them as they gather together unitedly to worship thee. Bless them, O Lord, in their lives, their daily lives, their walk, their conduct. Guide and direct them. We read in thy word, and he led them forth by the right way unto a city of habitation. May we be brought to see, O Lord, that though it may be a way that is so contrary to our way, and yet thy way is the best way. May we be humbled under the mighty hand of God, that we may be exalted in due season. Bring us into subjection to thy heavenly mind and will. Bring us to truly from the depths of our heart to speak that word, not my will, but thine be done. Help us to fall into thy hands. O Lord, we do beseech thee. Open thy word to our heart and to our understanding. Grant that thy word this evening hour may be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And grant that those in darkness may be brought into light, and those in bondage may be brought into liberty, and those far off may be made nigh. And that the dead may hear the voice of the Son of God. Their soul may be quickened, brought into life, that they may be brought to realize their condition before a holy God, and brought to realize the solemn consequences of their sinful life, and brought to realize that there's only one that can save them from it, brought to realize wherefore he is able. Even our Lord Jesus Christ, he is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth. O most gracious Lord, we pray for an interest in the Saviour's blood, my pardon sealed and peace with God. We seek thy blessing upon our beloved brethren, the deacons, that they may be richly blessed of thee, guided by thee, taught by thee, that they may be made more spiritually minded, affections set upon things above. Graciously bless them, Lord. Bless them in all the responsibilities that devolve upon them in the sanctuary. And graciously bless this church and this congregation with a living, settled ministry, one of thy servants to come in and out among them and to feed them with knowledge and with understanding. Grant that real gracious exercise among them for this wonderful blessing that thou hast promised unto thy church. I will give you pastors according to mine heart that shall come in and out among you and feed you with knowledge and with understanding. So grant this church and congregation such a pastor, such a gift, which is only thine to give. Lord Jesus, thy servants are in thy right hand. And oh, we do pray that thou wouldst bless this church and people with a living ministry. Help thy servants that come in and out among them at this time. Grant that they may dip their foot in oil and be made acceptable unto the brethren. Grant that they may preach the word and be instant in season and out of season. Bless those in old age and unable perhaps to gather with us. Do graciously bless them in the evening time of life's journey. Impress upon them the solemnity of death and the tremendous reality of eternal judgment and the great need of salvation through the blood of the Lamb. Support and sustain them, Lord, in all the attendant infirmities of old age. We seek thy rich blessing upon those in the midst of the journey of life, bearing the heat and the burden of the day. Deliver us from temptation. Deliver us from sin, from its power, from its dominion. Deliver us from the allurements of this world. O thou great God, only thou canst keep us and deliver us as we travel in this wilderness. Only thou canst make it a wilderness unto our souls. Seek, dear Lord, that thou in thy precious mercy would make us more spiritually minded and set our affections on things above. Draw my soul to thee, my Lord. Let me love thy precious word. We seek thy blessing upon thee, that the babes in arms, the little children as they're brought into the sanctuary, that the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it may be their portion in their young and tender years, that they may have the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. Pray thy blessing upon the young friend. Guide them in all the paths of life's journey. Guide them regarding their education. Guide and direct them, O Lord, regarding employment. Help them to commit all things into thy kind and gracious hand, and to watch thy gracious hand. Graciously guide and direct them regarding a partner in life's journey, and help them to commit all things unto thee, and to wait patiently upon thee. We seek, most gracious Lord, that thy rich blessing may rest upon the surrounding villages, and that the light and power of gospel truth may shine forth, and many precious souls may yet be gathered in, and the strongholds of Satan pulled down, and the kingdom of the Lord Jesus set up in the hearts of sinners. Lord, exercise thy people. Thou hast said, I will yet be inquired of the house of Israel to do this thing for them. I will increase them with men like a flock. Lord Jesus, thou didst say, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them I must bring. Lord, may we see Zion's offspring come. May we see prodigals return. May we see the strongholds of Satan pulled down. May we see the kingdom of Jesus Christ set up in the hearts of poor sinners. May we see a reviving, a renewing, a replenishing in Zion. Bless all thy labouring servants as they labour in word and doctrine. Graciously grant, O Lord, that thou, the great Lord of the harvest, would raise up yet young men to send them forth to preach the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ with feet to run where thou dost send. Oh, hear us, O Lord, we do humbly beseech thee, and remember thy Zion in this dark day. We pray for thy church in other nations that are so sorely oppressed and persecuted, some even unto death and imprisonment. O thou great God, remember thy church in the earth. Remember thy people wherever they are. Remember thy Zion for good. And stir up thy power among the churches, and make bare thine holy arm in the gospel. We thank thee, O Lord, for all thy tender mercies, thy loving kindnesses, thy great goodness that has passed before us in the way. Truly God is good to Israel. And we bless thee for all providential blessing. But above all, O Lord, we bless thee for the glories of the gospel, for the wonders of redeeming love, for that fullness that resides in Jesus our head and ever abides to answer our need. We thank thee that full atonement has been made, that salvation has been procured, that sin has been put away, that divine justice has been satisfied in that glorious holy sacrifice of the cross of Calvary, that death has been swallowed up in victory in that risen Saviour, and that heaven has been opened. O Lord, we would indeed render thanksgiving unto thee as we come into thine earthly courts for all thy wonderful mercies, for all those sacred blessings. Every blessing, every favour freely flows through Jesus' precious blood. We thank thee that in him we know and we experience the love, the infinite love of our Heavenly Father. And we thank thee that through him we receive that wonderful and most precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, we do pray that we may feel thy heavenly power and grace here this evening hour. Forgive all our sins. Wash us in the precious blood of the Lamb. Come and touch one's lips with a live coal from off the heavenly altar. Remember all in affliction, sorrow, sadness and bereavement. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 338. By whom was David taught to aim the dreadful blow when he Goliath fought and laid the Gittite low? No sword nor spear the stripling took, but chose a pebble from the brook. 338.
Greatly feeling to need the Lord's gracious help, I would direct your attention to the third chapter of Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, and we will read verses 14 and 15 for our text. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. As the Lord may help us, let us just look at these first three words, for this cause. You will notice at the beginning of the chapter starts with this same words, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. If ye have heard, this is the cause. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, that's the cause, for this cause, because of the dispensation of the grace of God. He says, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. It's for this cause. See, in these previous chapters, and he's in a sense summing up for this cause, because of these wonderful doctrines of truth that we have set before us here, for this deep mystery of godliness that is manifest in the person of Jesus Christ. In the first chapter, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Here's the fountainhead, my beloved friends, of all the blessings of grace, of all the blessings of salvation. Blessed be the God and Father. This is the fountain of all our blessings, of all our hope, in the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Quite rightly, we sing that beautiful hymn, every blessing, every favour freely flows through Jesus' precious blood. That's the sacred conduit of the blessings of free grace through a once crucified but now exalted Redeemer. Source of those blessings, the infinite love of our Heavenly Father. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. What a wonderful thing if you and I, my beloved friends, can realize by sweet experience those blessings of grace. If you have those evidences that you have been born again of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost proceedeth forth from the Father and the Son. You hath he quickened, he says it here in Ephesians chapter 2, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Do we have that evidence? Has your soul been quickened? Have you been brought to realize your lost condition, your helpless condition, your needy condition? Have you been brought to feel your need of Jesus Christ? You long to lay hold of Jesus Christ You can find an echo in your heart of the language of the dear apostle when you think of Jesus Christ and you say that I may know him. You want a personal knowledge. That's what that means. You want a personal knowledge of Jesus Christ that I may know him in the power. Doesn't do you any good, does it, to know in the intellect? Doesn't do you any good to know these things by just reading Holy Scripture and know all about Jesus. It doesn't do you any good when the minister just preaches about Jesus. You want to know him. Real true religion, my beloved friends, is not some detached thing. It's something that is very personal. That I may know him. To know my Jesus crucified by far. See, it's not just to know about his crucifixion. It's not just to know about the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not just to know, well, you know, in the doctrinal sense that sin has been put away, divine justice has been satisfied. Wonderful and sacred as those doctrines are. You want to personally know it. You want an experience of it. My sins were put away. My sins, oh how black they appear when in that dear bosom they meet. My sins. My Saviour. My Redeemer. That's what you want to know, isn't it? My beloved is mine. That my, it's a personal thing. And real religion is a very personal thing. Thou art my salvation. Thou art my rock and my fortress. Thou art my strong and my high tower. It's personal. It's mine. It doesn't do you any good. You might rejoice with another person that they have received the blessing of the Lord. It doesn't do you any good, does it? My Saviour. My Redeemer. My Deliverer, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Have you got any spiritual blessings? Have you got spiritual life? Has your soul been quickened? Has Jesus been made precious to you? Experimentally? Has your darkness, do you know what darkness is? Do you know what spiritual darkness is? Do you know what spiritual bondage is? Do you know what it is to long to be delivered from that darkness? To long to be delivered from that bondage. You feel that bondage, you feel that darkness, and you long to be delivered from it. And you ask the Lord to deliver you from it. You ask him to give you light. You feel death within, you ask him to give you life. You see, my beloved friends, in real religion, there are negatives and there are positives. There really is. Negatives and positives. So there is a darkness. And when you feel that darkness, you long for light. So there is bondage. And when you feel that bondage, you long for liberty. There is a sense of distance between your soul and a holy God, and you long to be made nigh. You long to be brought near. And so there is these spiritual longings and that side of real religion. It's a very real thing. Is what is called the negative side. And it is, in that sense of the word, as you look at it in this way, darkness, bondage, distance, far off, a longing. But you see, the Spirit, when he brings a poor sinner to feel this darkness, this bondage, this distance, where the Holy Ghost is working, he gives a longing, a seeking, an asking, a knocking. It's the Spirit's work. How many have come to chapel tonight, here this evening, and you're asking? You've come asking. You've come seeking. Wonderful thing if you have. You've come knocking. You may say to me, I keep asking, I keep seeking, I keep knocking. Well, you keep on. You keep on. There's some very clear, most emphatic promises that are given to you in the Word of God. Listen to the words of Jesus. He doesn't say ask and you might receive, you could receive. Seek and you, well, perhaps you'll find. There's no ambiguity whatsoever in the words of Jesus Christ, my beloved friends. They are absolutely sure and certain, and they are written for the encouragement of poor, tempted souls in darkness and bondage and feeling so far off. And what does he say? Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. It's clear. It's the word of God. To seek in souls, to long in souls. To the poor and the needy. When the poor and the needy. You see, that time comes in a experimental way. And I emphasize this. Experimental way. It comes in the life of the true child of God. When the poor and needy. They're brought to feel that they're poor and needy. You know, this sort of religion doesn't grow in nature's barren soil. No. This is the work of the Holy Ghost. When the poor and needy. Do you feel poor and needy? Do you feel to be so poverty stricken? You say sometimes you look within and you pray unto the Lord and you say, can ever God dwell here in this wicked, sinful, corrupt heart? When the poor and needy seek, notice the words of God, seek water. Why? Because their tongue faileth for thirst. They're longing. He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. It's written for the encouragement of hungry, longing souls. The eternal God speaks that word. He does. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Jacob, will not forsake them. No. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed be the God and Father. Does this language, does this description of a spiritual man or a spiritual woman, does it find an echo in your heart? Is there a realization that yes, I do believe? I feel these things. I know these things. I experience these things. I feel myself to be a sinner. I feel far off. I cannot get near. I seek but cannot find. I keep looking. I keep watching. I keep waiting. I get sorely tried that God never answers prayer. There is no such thing as prayer. I get sorely tried that it's hopeless for me to pray. You know, with the spiritual exercises of the living child of God, they fluctuate. There may be one day that you feel so burdened concerning your soul and concerning eternity, concerning your sin. You feel so burdened. You pray. You may go aside and get on your knees and cry unto the Lord. But then another day, You don't feel that same sense of burden, of darkness, of bondage. You don't feel that need of prayer. And then you say, well, funny old religion this is. One day I feel so burdened and pressed. One day I so long for the blessing of the Lord. One time I come up under the house of God and there's such a longing in my soul that I might hear the word of the Lord and that something may be revealed to me, made known unto me concerning salvation. Then another time I come and I feel so dead and I feel so unexercised. I feel so lifeless. And that troubles you, doesn't it? When you feel your burden, then you're so troubled and burdened because of your burden. When you don't feel it, then you're so troubled because you think, well, I don't know. I feel to be in a state of complete limbo. I seem to know neither one thing nor the other. Uneasy when I feel my load, uneasy when I feel it not. Does this express the inward feelings of your soul? Does it? But now, my beloved friends, there comes a time with each one of these seeking souls when Christ is revealed. You might say, what actually happens when Christ is revealed? Light instead of darkness. Hope instead of hopelessness. A sense of liberty instead of bondage. That's what happens when Christ is revealed. It's as if the door is open and a light shines into your prison cell. And instead of darkness, there's a beam of light shines. There's hope. Hope. Do you know something of this? And do you know that the source of this is our Heavenly Father as the source of it? Of all these rich blessings. That, no, when the apostle, he speaks this in our text and he says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on, he speaks of the things that the Father has done for us, according as he hath chosen us. In him, in who? Christ. In him, before the foundation of the world. Why has Christ been made precious to your soul? Because you have an eternal Father who's loved you with an everlasting love. And therefore he's made Christ precious to you. He's drawn you to Jesus Christ. What do we read in the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ? None come except the Father draw. Have you been drawn to Christ? Do you see a beauty in Christ? Do you see a loveliness in Christ? Is there in your heart such a longing after Jesus Christ? Drawn. You see, you're drawn to Christ. It's the Father's love. Our Heavenly Father. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. It's an eternal love. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee, drawn to Jesus Christ. You see a beauty in Jesus Christ. You see an attraction in Jesus Christ. There's something in Jesus Christ that so draws you. According as he hath chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, we love him. Because he first loved us. That we should be holy. That's something You know, for a poor, defiled sinner, that's something very difficult to grasp, isn't it? I remember just after we married, I was sitting reading one evening in the Word of God. And there's a very similar word to this in the first chapter of the Epistle to the Colossians. And I was reading through the Epistle to the Colossians, and I came to that verse and I stopped. It seemed to arrest me. It's almost identical to this word, that we should be holy and without blame. Do you know, my beloved friends, it seemed to so arrest me. How ever can this be? A poor, defiled, wretched, hopeless sinner, holy. And as I sat and meditated, it was as if the Spirit of God, I trust, gave me that spirit of meditation. The work of Jesus Christ, the sin of the church laid on Jesus Christ. He suffered in the room and the place and the stead of poor sinners. He wrought out an everlasting righteousness. That holy God-man, the man Christ Jesus, lived a perfect life in absolute perfect obedience to the law in thought, word and deed. He did no sin. Sin is any transgression of the law. He, Jesus Christ, did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Sinless, holy, pure. Now that perfect obedience of Christ, it's called in Scripture the righteousness of Christ. It's his, the holy God-man, his obedience. The law was made for man. The Son of God became man. He lived in perfect obedience. How did that come about? The love of your heavenly Father. God, who? God who? God the Father, John 3. God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son. You know, my beloved friends, there are so many times I feel that we rarely seem to dwell upon the infinite love of our Heavenly Father in Christ. And yet, you find it right throughout Scripture, this wonderful, precious doctrine of truth. And when you experience it, it is exceedingly precious. When I was in hospital just recently, and on the Saturday morning, I was feeling very ill, and in the early hours of the morning, and I just thought, I'd been ill all week, I thought the Lord hasn't drawn near. I haven't felt him near, I haven't heard his voice. And I lay there thinking of it, and as I looked back through the week, the Lord had given me such peace and such quietness. And I looked back through the week, and the peace and the quietness that he'd given me, and as I just lay thinking of it, I thought, what a wonderful blessing to be given peace and quietness. And as I was thinking of it, the Lord drew near. And he so softened my heart. And I so felt the love of my Heavenly Father. He'd given me that peace. My Heavenly Father. Such a sacred, precious thing to feel. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. To the praise of the glory of his grace. That glorious grace of God. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. God so loved the world, that glorious grace of our triune Jehovah, seen in the incarnate Son of God, seen in his holy life, seen in his glorious sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, seen in that precious holy blood that was shed. Divine justice was satisfied. And it was the Father's infinite love that sent him to suffer, to bleed, and to die. And so this is why we look at these things, because the beginning of our text, it says, for this cause. Why? This cause, this love, this eternal love. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father. Wonderful thing, isn't it? What a privilege. I bow my knees unto the Father. It's a precious thing to be given that sacred, precious grace that is in Christ Jesus. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. You know, there was some confusion in the minds of the Lord's immediate disciples concerning this sacred truth and this precious doctrine. And surely, if there was that measure of confusion in the minds of his own immediate disciples, well, I often look at it in this way. Is it not surprising that sometimes there is a measure of confusion in our own hearts, in our own minds? But the Lord Jesus, you know, in that beautiful valedictory discourse that he speaks to his disciples in John 14, 15 and 16, he so beautifully opens this precious truth unto his disciples and unto us. It is written for our instruction, for our benefit, for our comfort and for our consolation. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In this glorious Redeemer, this one blessed mediator between God and man. Now, he goes on, because there was this confusion. He says, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. You know, my beloved friends, we cannot have the gift of the Holy Ghost, and we cannot have the blessings of Jesus Christ, unless we have a Heavenly Father. That is the clear teaching of the Holy Word of God. It is. If ye had known me, Christ speaking to his disciples, ye should have known my Father also. What does he say? I and my Father are one. You cannot have one without the other. No. And from henceforth ye know him, who? The Father. Ye know him and have seen him. Again, Philip, he questions this, and he says, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me. It's a total contradiction to say that you have a hope in Jesus Christ, and then to say, don't have a Heavenly Father. Absolute contradiction of what the doctrine of truth sets forth in Holy Scripture. And that is exactly what Christ is saying to his disciples here and to us. Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? Just think of those words, beautiful words, found in that exceedingly well-known prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9 concerning our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, concerning the virgin being with child. Just look at that beautiful sacred promise there. For unto us a child is born. Who is it? The Holy Child at Bethlehem. The Holy God-man, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Where from? From our Heavenly Father. That's where he comes from. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. And what else? The Everlasting Father. That's who Christ is. I and my Father are one. the Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government, and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. You know, the Lord Jesus in that beautiful discourse, he says, verily, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do will he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask, notice this, teachings of our Lord Jesus, and whatsoever ye shall ask, ask who? My Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. You know, my beloved friends, he goes on here, he speaks of the gift of the Holy Ghost. And he gives us some very clear instruction. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto my Father, for my Father is greater than I. See, it's Christ that reveals the Father's love. It's Christ that reveals his grace. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. If ye shall ask anything in my name. What a wonderful privilege then is given to poor, needy sinners, brought to feel their needy, sinful state by the inward work of the Spirit, brought to feel the preciousness of Christ, brought to see a little of the loveliness of Christ, to see him as the altogether lovely one. You know, my beloved friends, these things are written for our instruction. They are indeed. The Lord Jesus, as he continues in this vain, in this discourse, he says, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. How we need to stick close to the doctrine of truth in Holy Scripture. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name, ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. And he goes on here in the 16th chapter. Listen to these words, my beloved friends. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world, and again I leave the world and go to the Father. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. My dear beloved friends, oh, that the Lord by his Spirit and grace would give us to know and to feel the sweet reality of these truths. We have a heavenly Father. You've known what it is to be raised up in a sweet hope in Jesus Christ. It's the evidence. It's the evidence. And this is why he lays this emphasis here. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. You know, those of us that have been called by divine grace, those of us that have been raised up to a sweet hope in Jesus Christ, we very rightly call each other brother or sister. And that's right, it's according to scriptural doctrine. Our brother, our sister. Now, this, let us just follow this through in the doctrine of truth. If we have a brother or a sister, it's because we have a father. The natural relationship, a brother and sister have the same father. That's what makes them brother and sister. And it, this is how much more so when the Lord, by his Spirit and by his grace, that Holy Spirit that proceedeth forth from the Father and the Son, into the heart of a poor sinner, convincing them of their sin, leading them to Jesus Christ, to see a beauty and a loveliness in him. They are brethren and sisters in Christ. And that, you know, that is a very precious thing. It's one of the marks and evidences of divine grace. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. That's one of the marks and evidences. But we have brothers and sisters in Christ because we have a heavenly Father. You know, these, all these sacred truths, they fit in together. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now, this is, he has these longings and these desires for them, that he, who, our heavenly Father, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That the Father would grant that to you. That Christ, these words, have a particular preciousness to me. After being 2 years under the law, when I was a young man, from the age of 19 to 21, I was what we call under a law work, in darkness, in bondage, being convicted and convinced of my lost condition. Came home from work one evening. I was the only one in the house. And I just took a book off my father's bookshelf. You know, when I come into that house, I remember it now. I stood there and I was absolutely finished. Felt that I couldn't take another step. So great was my sin, so great was my darkness, so great was my bondage. I was utterly finished. That's exactly how I felt. And I took this book off my father's bookshelf and I just opened it and read it. It happened to be J.C. Philpott's Gospel Pulpit Sermons, and this was the text. And as I read the text, the scales fell off my eyes. And these were the words, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. That's a root grace, you know, my beloved friends, love. And what a sad family it is if there's no love. But these are the marks and evidences of a true child of God. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. It does. You know, when that love, that's what happened to me that evening, the love of Christ was shed abroad in my heart. It was such an amazing change. I cannot express to you the change. From utter darkness, from utter hopelessness, from utter bondage. It's the only way I can explain it. Light. Life. There was death and now there was life. There was darkness and now there was light. There was bondage and now there was liberty. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. It passes knowledge. You can't express it to anyone else. The wonderful thing that you feel at that time when the love of Christ is shed abroad in your heart, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto him, our heavenly Father, in Christ, the Holy Ghost, this one glorious triune Jehovah, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. What power? The power of the Holy Ghost. Unto him be glory in the church. Unto our Heavenly Father, unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Well, friends, I'm going to have to sit down, or I shall overstretch my strength. May the Lord be pleased to add his blessing.
Let us close with hymn 940. Compared with Christ in all beside, no comeliness I see. The one thing needful, dearest Lord, is to be one with thee. 940.
Thank you.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, both now and for evermore. Amen.